This is VOA News. We are remote. I'm Marissa Melton. U.S. lawmakers are running out of time to pass a second massive round of aid addressing the economic and health crises caused by the coronavirus. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was to speak with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin today ahead of a self-imposed 48-hour deadline to reach a deal before Election Day on November 3rd. If the White House and Democratic Majority House of Representatives cannot reach an agreement by Tuesday, the next opportunity for negotiations on aid will come during a lame duck session of Congress in November and December. On Sunday, Speaker Pelosi told ABC's This Week Sunday news program that the Trump administration had removed key language from the legislation that laid out testing and tracing strategies. U.S. lawmakers have repeatedly failed to reach an agreement on a second round of economic aid to millions of Americans impacted by the pandemic. In September, Senate Republicans failed to pass a slimmed-down $500 billion aid proposal. The $2 trillion CARES Act, passed by bipartisan agreement in March, was one of the largest aid packages in U.S. history. It provided $600 in weekly enhanced unemployment benefits for millions of out-of-work Americans. The federal benefits, however, expired on July 31st. New unemployment claims jumped last week to more than 890,000. It's the highest level since mid-August, although continuing unemployment claims dropped to 10 million. The World Health Organization says 184 countries have now joined the COVID-19 Global Vaccine Alliance, known as COVAX. It's designed to speed development and distribution of an eventual COVID-19 vaccine. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News. Shelling was reported in the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh on Monday, despite a ceasefire that was meant to take effect on Sunday. In the latest development in the dispute over the region of Nagorno-Karabakh, Armenia and Azerbaijan each accused the other of shelling overnight. This despite a truce backed by international mediators aimed at quelling the violence. The violence has left hundreds dead. Azerbaijani officials accused Armenia of shelling at least four regions outside the conflict zone. Armenian state media said that Azerbaijan targeted multiple villages for shelling overnight. Both sides accused the other of violating Sunday's ceasefire. The latest ceasefire is the second, brokered by Russian officials since the conflict began last month. Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov, who acted as a mediator for the truce, on Monday called the continued fighting unacceptable. Thousands of protesters took to the streets of Bangkok on Monday for the fifth straight day, demanding the resignation of Thai Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha, who seized power in a military coup in 2014. The protesters, mostly students, have called for changes to the monarchy as well, a seemingly untouchable institution in Thailand, where insulting royalty can result in criminal charges. The protesters are also defying a pandemic-related ban on gatherings of more than four people at a time. Prayut recalled parliament currently in recess on Monday to discuss how to reduce tension and quell the protests. He also cautioned protesters not to break the law, saying the government hoped for peaceful demonstrations. The daughter of a U.S. citizen missing in Syria says a top U.S. official recently visited the war-torn country, apparently for talks on her missing father and also for freelance journalist Austin Tice. Both disappeared in Damascus years ago. Maryam Kamamaz said Monday the family learned of the visit last week, but still has no news of her father Maj Kamamaz's whereabouts or his health. The visit by Kash Patel, deputy assistant to President Donald Trump and top White House counterterrorism official, was first reported by the Wall Street Journal Sunday. There has been no immediate U.S. comment on those reports. There's not been a confirmed visit by a high-level American official to Damascus since the U.S. shuttered its embassy in the capital and withdrew its ambassador in 2012 as the country's civil war worsened. The visit would be seen as a boost by the internationally isolated government of President Bashar al-Assad, which faces U.S. and European sanctions for its role in the 9-year war. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. From Washington, this is VOA News.